Welcome to Late Night with the Vinyl Preacher. We're recording late today, and I'm this is your podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, pastor and host of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
Matt, what's the name of that that DJ that was on the late night DJ? It was like a female
DJ.
It was like, this song is going out to Delilah. Like, I feel like it was
Delilah. That was her name, was Delilah.
What's your name, Delilah?
Yeah, it was Delilah.
I don't know if I was just confusing it with the song.
Hey, she's still around. Yeah, no, it's Delilah.
Oh, that'd be good. Let's get an intern to research these questions for us while we talk.
Radio Delilah. Yeah, I think she's still on the air. She moved to Premier Radio Networks 2004. Yeah, a little bit. It's good.
Just gives good character. Good, yeah. I've got a puppy. Still have a puppy, Matt.
Is that your puppy?
Our listeners, that's the puppy.
Oh.
It makes your life very peaceful. You get to relax a lot with a 3-month-old puppy who's hell-bent on destruction.
Yeah. Hell bent on destruction.
What have we learned about DJ Delilah?
Stop it. Not much. She has an Instagram account. That's what I got. And then I gave up because I realized this was going to be a rabbit hole.
It is going to be a rabbit hole for you. Here's my question for you, Matt, because if you recall, we're fans of lots of different types of music. We like to check out the occasional radio DJ, disc jockey, as we saw Jason, what's his face, from KRCRW one time out in the desert. Do you think DJ late night DJ Delilah will be on the? I didn't get all the way to the bottom of the fine print. Is she on the play on the lineup this year at Coachella?
No, that would be amazing though. That would be amazing.
Maybe
no,
somebody.
I don't see her. I don't see her on here. You know, it's just I realize I'm looking at it here instead. Who's on the bottom? But no doubt coming back. Wow.
The line doesn't even say Matt, breaking news.
It doesn't even say returning to the desert. I guess that was just for what's his name last year. It just says and dot dot dot. No doubt.
Gotta paint the picture here, Matt. So you got 3 days. The poster is out. That's what we're trying to get to here. Okay? Yeah. Coachella 2024.
I don't even know. Why are we even talking about this? We're not even going this year, Zach, and yet we're gonna discuss the poster.
We're out.
I don't know.
Nobody decided. I thought maybe we'd talk about it, get ourselves hyped up, and make it happen.
I don't know. I hadn't, I'm still, this is why we waited to buy tickets. So I just hold out hope that maybe we'll just decide at the last minute. It'll be great. But let's see who do we've got, what do we start with? Friday and then work our way down? Or we start with the big names and work our way down?
Let's start with Friday.
Friday, you're probably going to begin your night on Friday with, the band Upchuck. Sounds great. Late night drive home. I don't know who that is. Yeah.
The poster came out and I had the same reaction I have every year, which is who are these people? Like, I don't know.
Who are these people? See, and then you come back and you know the people and you go, oh yeah, I'm cool. And then you have to restrain yourself for years afterwards from telling people, oh, I saw them at Coachella. Which took me a long time to realize it's taken me many years to realize how obnoxious that is. So I try to restrain myself sometimes.
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Let's see, the Beths on here. Brittany Howard, surprisingly.
Brittany Howard was one that I was like, oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. I think the first time Kevin and I went, Alabama Shakes were there. Mm. And so we had to see Brittany Howard.
She's shaking herself loose from the Alabama Shakes.
Yep.
I've heard the name of the Carpenter before. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either. First person I know on here is Bizarrap because they did a song with Shakira because I'm old and Shakira is the person that I remembered. Deftones, is that a ska band? Is that who that is? I don't know.
I think, right?
Lil Uzi Vert, very popular among my young adult set. And Peso Pluma, the much... very controversial, Peso Pluma.
Are they? Well, so here's the Peso Pluma, second largest font of the day by themselves.
Yeah.
It's the headliner for the day. And then Peso, I don't know nothing.
Peso Pluma.
Nothing of Peso Pluma.
Peso Pluma is huge, huge in the Latin market. Just massive in the Spanish language market, but is sort of just a little bit controversial, but very, very popular for sure.
What makes them glorifying,
you know, glorifying the drug trade, I guess. Doing that whole deal, which is, you know, like a whole tradition among the corridos, but still, I don't know. There were some articles in the LA Times about it, which is how I get my music news, not by listening to music, but by reading about it in a
the best way to consume
newspaper for old people. And then headlining Lana Del Rey.
Wow.
Interesting. Very Southern California artist.
Yeah.
I feel like she'd be better at like the
Sunset. A little underwhelming.
But yeah. Right. What do we got the next night? Looks like what's his name from Gorillaz is coming back with his other band, Blur. So that's fun.
My second favorite band that Damon is in.
There's a band that you might start out with called Manv Indiana.
Manv Indiana.
Depression Manv? Sonora.
Mandy.
Does it say Mandy? No, it's cut off on mine. Mandy. Ah. Mandy Indiana. Who else is in here that I think of? I don't know any of these people. I'm so old.
No.
This is why we gotta go. So we learn who these people are. Okay. See? And then we finally get to this last one, and we got John Batiste. Ooh, it's good. I like John Batiste. Grimes.
I mean, do you go see Grimes just to see if Eli shows up and does something weird?
I think you do. Bleachers. Bleachers is fun. It's fun. We saw Bleachers at Coachella a couple of years ago, and like I got a little glimpse, and he was very had a very Springsteen energy, running all over the stage, just giving it all he's got. Love him or hate him, he's going to give you some energy. So Bleachers is really fun. And then Ice Spice. I don't know if Taylor Swift is going to show up.
It's a person.
Ice Spice. That'd be fun. They had a song together. And Blur. And then Tyler, the Creator, I guess, is a headliner. I know. He's supposed to be big.
I didn't want to be a complete jerk, right? But, like, didn't feel like a headliner to me. But I'm just an old person. Again, what do we know?
Yeah. We could go round and round about Tyler, the Creator. But Tyler, the Creator...
I think here's one thing you can say for Tyler, the Creator, and probably Lana Del Rey. I'd put some money down that they're going to show up.
I think they're going to show up, yeah. Good point.
I think they might be there.
Good point. Just so listeners know, I've had a beef with Tyler, the Creator, ever since U2 dropped their cell phone album, and Tyler, the Creator had words about it. And I said, that's it. I will never like Tyler, the Creator. All right. What else do we have in here? DJ Snake? Little Yachty? Now I should keep going?
Yeah. You should keep going now.
Oh, DJ Snake, Lil Yachty, who I've heard about in the New York Times podcast.
Have you?
But never actually listened to. Podcast had some stuff about Waxahachie. That was fun.
It's good.
Like, hey, wow. Jhené Aiko, J Balvin, Doja Cat. Doja Cat, that's...
Which Cat, I think, is a legitimate headliner. I think that's...
Yeah, she's made it a headliner. High proof.
I think so. My daughter is listening to her. I think it checks all the boxes.
Good.
She's a baddie.
Yeah, cool.
She's a rebel.
Good.
She's a bad little... The clean version.
Yeah.
We have a whole... We've stumbled into a unique moment in parenting, Matt. We've never been puritanical about language in our house. Because it was not a perspective that we had, we as a mostly myself had the fortitude to maintain anyway. But now as we're getting towards the end of second grade here, what we've had to do, and not we, my parenting partner, set up a playlist of just clean versions of all the songs that she likes to listen to. And recently it's been shared with me, and I've been encouraged to listen to those versions of the songs with her, not the versions that I have us listening to.
Yeah. Chris said that's her new favorite song, and she can't listen to it with the girls. So I was like, you got to find the clean version. You can do it. It's out there.
Evidently, there are like three different versions of, like, there are different levels of cleanliness.
Yeah.
like there's the clean version and then there's the Kidz Bop version, which is like super, like super sanitary.
Yeah, the Kidz Bop, yeah. Yeah. That is too bad Kidz Bop is not playing Coachella. That would be
I've learned it through the Olivia Rodrigo song Vampire, where the clean version says like a damn vampire. The original version of course says like a goddamn vampire. And the Kidz Bop version says like a real life vampire. So
nice.
There you go.
Well, those are three nights, and then I assume Saturday night we get the and .. No doubt, but it's not clear when they're going to play.
Oh, so Tyler the Creator not exactly a headliner. Maybe. Is what you're saying?
Maybe hard to know. I mean, Blink 182 was like a different stage entirely, and like I don't quite remember exactly how that played out, but it was a little.
Oh, really? Different. They did it. But
remember when we saw Blink 182? They weren't on the main stage. They were like
over at the other stage. Crazy Blink 182 didn't play that spot until
Frank
Ocean. It was what's his name, the DJ, who we don't know, Calvin Harris returned.
Calvin Harris, that's right, returned to the desert,
yeah. And that happened on the main stage.
Yeah, right. So no, that's the backup for any of these artists dropping out. We don't know who that's going to be.
I've been doing my exploration, Matt. I'm excited. Spoilers, a little later. All my songs come off of the Coachella playlist, the 2024 playlist.
Wow. Well done.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I suppose we could just also learn about these artists with the Coachella playlist and then watch the YouTube. You know, still do
I
it.
I like your but... YouTube. Here's what I suggest, Matt, okay, as we age. Unlike Taze, Coachella does not yet have a geriatric village. I still think we should go to Palm Springs. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your mom's place.
Yeah, she's got my mom's place.
And watch the YouTube stream there. So it's we're still making an event out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. In the hot tub, it'll be great.
Oh man, God, that was a good hot tub. Are the Beths?
So,
did I miss the Beths on here? The Beths. They have a song that I really enjoy called "Expert in a Dying Field."
Okay, yeah. That was a
helpful thing for all current ministers of Word and Sacrament to hear.
Indeed.
Friday, the Beths can will be there for you. Pretty small print, but
yeah, yeah. Well, that's our 2024 Coachella lineup.
Pretty comprehensive coverage here on the Vinyl Preacher at night.
Late night. So yeah, that's our cover. What else do you need to cover tonight?
Oh, I just got this puppy going on. I was excited. The article came out in the Washington Post, and I put it on Facebook for a while until I realized I don't actually like participating on Facebook. That the science has come in. It took a while, Matt. The Love Languages book came out in 1992. Very popular. And the scientific research, double blind. They applied the scientific method to it, and it turned out it's not real. Talking dirt of events. Their research revealed a number of interesting things, including the fact that no one has a love language. They surveyed people, and everyone picked all of the love languages as their love. Like,
just picked all of them.
No one ever had like this is the only way I show love, or like the primary. Like that just wasn't statistically relevant. And also, it turns out there are way more than like five love languages. And they cautioned that the love language approach may not be the healthiest thing or safest thing for people, because it allows people to be like, oh, no, I don't articulate how I feel about you because my love language is actually service. So don't expect me to ever be emotionally vulnerable.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Don't take away my easy out, science. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean you throw it all away. It's just it's not science.
Mm. So you think they're coming for the Enneagram next?
I can't wait.
Apologies to our Enneagram friends. We know you love it, but Zach's still waiting for the day.
It's No, and my issue with it, Matt, my legitimate issue with it, right?
Because we're having technical difficulties.
We're going to lose. my legitimate issue with the Enneagram, and it's not just the Enneagram, right? But it's like that it, because the love languages thing is helpful as well, right? It parades itself as like a science sort of thing and gets used as a science. I think in the church world, and could be proven wrong, but pretty sure it's not a science. Has helpful things, right? Helpful conversation can spur helpful conversations, but it probably isn't a systematic way of understanding how humans work, a comprehensive way, right? Like,
yeah,
has a whole type where it's just like, hey, some people are just assholes. Like that's
here's my question for you though. Mm-hmm. Have you figured out the Enneagram number for your puppy?
Oh, which type? I'm not an expert, Matt. Which type lacks a conscience and appears to be incapable of experiencing shame? She would not do well.
Have you no shame? Are you walking around the house yelling at this puppy? Have you no shame?
You know, I try to like get my mean voice on, like, this is not good. And she said, don't care. I'm a happy puppy.
I don't care.
Which is just, I've had a puppy before, Matt. You know this.
Yeah.
But I've been more of a small dog person over the years.
Yeah.
The dachshunds, the weenie dogs. And the last time I had a puppy, I could really relate to that puppy because it had like an anxiety issue, right? Like it just clearly had existential dread all the time, right? It feared so many things, and I could be one of the things it feared. And so that worked out well.
Sure.
Right? Like, it works well, yeah. How that worked. Just have kind of sure. Like fear of the world.
Right.
This puppy has no fear that I can perceive. So it's a little difficult for us to relate right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe if you knew its Enneagram number, you would. And it's be love able language.
To understand.
Does it have a love language?
Then manipulate it. That's the part, like, that's the other.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's, you know, I feel like it'd be helpful. Some more advice for you. I don't have a puppy, but I can give advice. Well, what are we talking about today? What day in the lectionary is it? It's almost time for the time of Epiphany.
Transfiguration. It's time for it to be. It's enough. That's a wrap on Epiphany.
Transfiguration. 2 Kings 2:1-2. Fun fact: we're gonna celebrate Mardi Gras at my church for Transfiguration Sunday. I guess it's actually Dimanche Gras because it's that Sunday. Last Sunday before Ash Wednesday. You know, so I get to bring out some of the carnival aspects. Maybe I'll preach on the Chewbacca's festival with the Chewbacca's parade.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Well, what have we got? 2 Kings. It's a good story from 2 Kings. You want to hear it?
Good text. Please tell me. Please tell me.
2 Kings chapter 2, 1-12. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way. From all good sound effect from Spoilers. Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here for the Lord. Yeah. When the Lord was about to take Elijah, stay here for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, spoiler alert. Yes, I know. Keep silent. Elijah said to him, Elisha, right?
Everybody knows.
Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay. This would be like a great, like Muppet sketch, you know, where they kind of like hear the narrator and they're looking around like, wait, what? Like, what's going to happen? Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? He answered, yes, I know. Shut up, be silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan.
I sense a rule of threes coming on.
Oh, rule of threes. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. A kind of some Ruth and Naomi vibes here. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went. They're following behind us like Forrest Gump. And they stood at some distance from them. And as they were both standing by the Jordan, then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to one side and to the other. He's pulling a Moses. Mm-hmm. Wow. Until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let me inherit an in and out double share of your spirit. And he responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted. You have not, it will not. So don't blink. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. That's a good story, man.
It's great.
Isn't it? So many allusions and callbacks. I had visions there for the first time at the end of the, I'm always so excited by the story. Normally I don't really pay attention at the end, you know, cause like, oh yeah. And then he disappears. He does the Willy Wonka glass elevator thing. The chariots of fire and the horses of fire. I had callbacks to the smoking pot passing between the cleaved up animals with Abram and the covenant.
Yeah. You know,
there's some Abraham here or Abram. There's Moses tied in. Ruth and mm-hmm. me. Two Elijahs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. The Bible's like Star Wars. It rhymes.
Mm.
Here it is. Yeah, it's really good. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of allusions. We'll see some ways that it connects to the gospel. I think I'm really struck by this as a take on partings and grief, right? Like he knows that they've got to separate and he's putting it off. And then it happens in this really like crazy magical realism way, like this just wild image and everything. And don't quite know what to make of it, but it's this way that sometimes science fiction can get to something that is hard to get to literally. But I think we see some of that in the same way that we're going to see, even though Jesus has this mountaintop experience, spoiler alert, in the gospel to come, there are also these allusions to what's going to happen at the cross, what's going to happen on Good Friday, and sort of just carrying that both heaviness, but also that passing of the torch and passing of the mantle. So just a very like full of mixed emotions. It's great for an Enneagram 4. I know how much we believe in that.
There's a little No Doubt-ish. Matt, I didn't put this on the playlist because it was too obvious. Don't speak.
Don't speak. Oh, it's kind
I
that's
know that my master will be taken away from me today. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's really good.
A couple things to note. I don't believe Elijah gets called to the home office here because he has done for any particular reason, right? Like, it's not like Elijah's been great and they're like, well, you've done it. It's time for, you've accomplished, you've beaten the game. You're all done now. Come on back up here. And it is not that Elijah has done a particularly poor job, that Elijah is being recalled to corporate. It's just a thing that's coming to pass. The story here doesn't have a reason or a rationale. I mean, it starts with that, like the spoiler giveaway. The Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind. Which seems like you gave away all the good stuff in the story. And then it's not exactly true either, right? Like it's not literally true. Like the chariots of fire and horses. Stop. No. Hannah.
Is it? Are we still recording?
Oh, there we are now.
We are now.
On the heels of our increased audience, thanks to Jason Kirk, we're going to go with our most full cast edited podcast ever. That break was brought to you by a three-month-old puppy chewing on the wooden chair that I'm sitting on, the chair leg.
Wow.
If only that puppy would be carried up into heaven by a whirlwind.
Only if you watch it. Got to see it happen.
Mm.
Yeah, did you have a thought to finish? I can't remember where we were.
It's just a thing that's coming to pass. It.
Uh-oh.
You get the spoiler.
Did you freeze? Are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you not hear me? This is the best episode we've ever recorded.
There we go.
Okay. Look. You there?
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a thing that comes to pass. It's both extraordinary and ordinary. Happens all the time. both things can be true. It does. It also makes me think of on the subject of partings. I reread The Lord of the Rings during my sabbatical, because that's the thing you have time to do when you're on sabbatical. And the ending, this time it was the ending that. This time is the ending that got me, the many partings at the end, which even if you've just seen the films most recently, like, you know, there's like 10 endings to it. Like, you keep thinking it's over and it's still going. And there's a sense of that here. And there's the, like, that final ending where Frodo goes to the Grey Havens and he's like, Sam's going with him. He doesn't quite understand what's going to happen yet. But he sort of knows there's going to be a parting. And then the story continues, but there is this, like, it's a part of it. It's a thing that happens, and it's a thing that's going to happen. And yet there's something really powerful about Tolkien taking the time to linger on it. And I think that's part of what this passage does. It takes this time to linger on the parting. So yeah, it's a great text. Second Kings 2. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think these things are going to come, and these things are going to be relevant in the gospel too, that there's this movement, right? There's not, it's not like Elijah just gets to be frozen in time. There's a movement and he's going to pass the torch, and things have to keep moving. And also, so there is this, there's a tension, I think, between, not even a tension. It's more of a comfort, really. So there is this cleaving that happens. There's this parting that happens. And also, it's like Elijah doesn't have to go through those last stages alone, right? That Elisha could have left him at the first one. He's like, nope, I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you to the end. To the end of the line, like Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes. And he's with him to the end of the line. But then even at the end, when they have to part, Elijah goes with this chariot of fire and horses of fire, so that even at the end, like, Elijah is not alone in that. And I think that that's going to come to pass too in this gospel text. So maybe we should move to the gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. Yeah, Peter wants to build that triplex. And Jesus is like, I'm not into the co-living thing. We're not doing the co-op. I'm not going to do it. I've done tried to do the communal living. Communal living does not work. I'm out. Nope. Gosh. Yeah, spooky, huh? I love there's many connections, but one is in this accompaniment, right? That, like, Jesus takes with him. Jesus could have gone up on the high mountain by himself. Instead, he takes Peter and James, and James and John, and Amy Jill Levine, Jewish scholar of the New Testament, says she's surprised he didn't also take Andrew, that Andrew's like the brother that got left out on this little trip. So Andrew's going to be pissed when they get back. But Jesus just takes Peter and James and John. Right. It's keeping us. Don't tell Andrew. That's really why it was a secret. You think there's this whole messianic secret, but it was really like they just didn't want Andrew to know. Right. Totally. So he's up there by himself. Or no, he goes up there with those three. But then once they're up there, Elijah and Moses appear and talk with Jesus. And so this, like, as you know, this is the turning point, right? Where Jesus like turns from here on out, Jesus is turning his face to the cross. This is the halfway point. This is where we know Jesus is headed, where he's headed. He's headed to the cross. And yet, who does he get to go with him? He's got these disciples here on earth, but he's also got these ancestors that appear to talk with him, to accompany him, to walk with him. Elijah and Moses are right there with him, to talk with him. And you wonder what they're talking about. Yeah. Okay. This is where you're going. Chad Myers, who wrote Binding the Strong Man of the Gospel of Mark, he says, Elijah and Moses both also met with God on a mountain at a critical moment in their mission. Elijah and Moses both talked to God on a mountain. And now here they are with Jesus on a mountain at a critical turning point moment, talking to God and talking to each other. So it's like you're going to face this transitional moment, and yet they don't do it alone. None of them do, even Jesus. And that's a powerful thing. Yeah, right now. Yeah, no services. Can that be the title of the episode? There were no s'mores on the mountain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, say more about that. Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not really that old trivia question about like the prophet that didn't die. It's not really what it's about. Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, like, it's that life is full of transitions into these plateaus, and it's easy to forget that, but these transitions are constantly happening. And Peter tries to sort of freeze it. He's going to freeze time. We're just going to stay here. It's going to be good. And it's like, no, that ain't it. Like, he's got to keep going. He's got to go through it. So yeah, it's an embrace of that transition with all of the separation of that, but also all of the new life that will be on the other side of it. Happy Transfiguration Day to you. My other illustration here is, it makes me think of a great scene from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, where Harry's in the woods and he's got to go face Voldemort again. He gets the Sorcerer's Stone in his hand and he turns it, and suddenly his parents are with him and his godfather is with him, and all of these people are, and they're all ghosts. Nobody else can see them, but he knows that they're with him, and it gives him the strength to go and face Voldemort, where he knows he's going to die again. But it's because he knows he's got them with him. And I think there's something to that too. That's like both in that Elijah and Elisha going together, and Jesus here with Elijah and Moses, that he's going to walk to the cross, but he's alone, but he's not alone. And there's something in that. What are we listening to? Love it. It's great. All right. Let's do it. Nice. Awesome. Wow. Yeah. It's true. It's true. It's going to be a great Mardi Gras party this year. It's going to be great. I love it. And all Coachella playlist. Oh, wow. Well, these artists will not be playing at Coachella. I don't think Johnny Cash is going to play this year. But I've got The World. The Whirlwind is in the Thorn Bush from When the Man Comes Around. Oh, so good. Johnny Cash and The Man Comes Around. The Whirlwind is in the Thorn Bush. Or Thorn Tree, I guess. And then Sufjan Stevens, God Do the Transfiguration. Still haunting. I just find it's so good. It's great. And then I feel like both of these texts, especially the Elijah and Elisha, though, is the title could be The Long Goodbye. And so we'll do The Long Goodbye by Bruce Springsteen from, I think, what most people would consider his best album, which is Human Touch. I believe that's everybody's favorite Bruce Springsteen album. But me neither. I got to catch up. Springsteen, I'm going to Springsteen instead of Coachella, I guess. He's coming in April now. He's coming in April. I'm disappointed because he was supposed to come in December, and I thought he was going to do Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I was going to be so excited. But now he's coming right after Easter, so I guess we'll get to hear him do Jesus Christ is Risen today. So that's all right. I guess it'll be good. The Forum. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Great Western Forum. The place where Michael Jordan and the Toon Squad defeated the Monstars. It happened at the Great Western Forum. Yep. That's what I tell people when they come visit. We drive by the Forum. I always say, it's an important site. The universe was saved. Oh, yeah? Do you know what we watched this morning before school? I had them watch the Boy Genius Not Strong Enough video, which is all in, like, Santa Monica. They're just, like, hanging out at Santa Monica. It's really fun. All right. Well, it's been real.